Hi, everyone. A little bit of technical phone difficulties, but I'm finally here. Glad to hear you. Glad to see you. This is Donna Fox, and you are listening to, where am I? Akashic Wisdom. Anyway, hello. Okay, so we have some interesting things to talk to you about. You know, as I was going through some stuff, you know, if you've been listening for a while, you know that I am actually going through a lot of papers and a lot of things from over the years. And I actually have found a lot of old, as you would figure, memories, etc. And you know, I thought I had it here, but I don't know where it is now. Okay, so we're not going to talk about that. Okay. Talking to you, I am bummed because all right, so let me tell you about the Akashic Records. If you've not listened before, the Akashic Records are the energetic recording of your soul's journey over every lifetime. So every thought, word, and deed are registered in the Akasha, including your soul's intention for this lifetime. And so what we do on Akashic Wisdom is we talk about the Akashic Records energy. We talk about your life. I take questions, and you can call in your questions, or you can email your questions, your comments. Now, in order to contact me and have a dialogue, which I absolutely love, that's the reason for the show, by the way. So you can call in and ask pretty much any question you like, and I access the Akashic Records. I have a specific sacred prayer that I access the records with, and so you can call in, and the numbers to call in case you're just listening are 530-413-4511 or 530-413-4515 or 530-413-4520, or if you're in the San Francisco area, 415-287-0074. Okay, so I want to, and if you want to email me a question, if you're going to email me a question, that's great. If you could include your current legal name when you email the question, that would be even greater. And you can email me, I'm right at my computer at info@akashicwisdom.com, just like the show, akashicwisdom.com, info@akashicwisdom.com. So as I was saying earlier, I found some things that you find things that you've written. And in 1994, I was going to mystery school. But in 1991, I had written something about joy, and I actually recopied it for the friends at mystery school. Mystery school was a place that I went for quite a few years. It was run by Jean Houston. And she is a wonderful philosopher, and she's like mind candy to me. And so myself and about 150 other people would gather once a month in the Catskill Mountains and at this wonderful retreat center, this YMCA retreat center. And we would go there for 9 months, once a month for 9 months. And each month was a different theme. But the reason why it was such mind candy is because it wasn't, and I'm not going to get, don't want to get in trouble here, it wasn't foo-foo stuff. It was really understanding our spiritual connection from a psychological, from a physiological, and from a spiritual and emotional point of view. And it was about finding our connection to our own divinity. And helping those who are in attendance expand their awareness of who they are. And at that point, in 1994, I was just getting into my Akashic Records work. But in 1991, I had not yet discovered the Akashic Records. But I wanted to read this to you because it's about joy. And one of the things that I am coming very clear with is the aspect of joy in one's life is directly related to the peace one feels. And one of the other things that we'll be talking about, or unless you call and have a different subject, and that's okay, is the love of ourselves and what grace is. And so I want to read this to you, and it's called Joy. And again, I wrote it in 1991, so let's see, that's quite a few years ago. All right, so I would like to share with you today some thoughts about joy, abundance, and the meaning of life. Our path as a people, nation, universe, and as an individual yearning for purpose and connectedness. After all, isn't that what the mystery of life is all about on one level or another? We all encounter humans who are not like-minded with us, and it is here on this planet, at the Mystery School of Life, we immerse ourselves in each other's energies to grow. However, I would like to share with you something that has become an integral part of my life and being. That is appreciation and a deep gratefulness for being here on this planet at this time in its evolution. I consider this a great opportunity for more than just learning what not to do, but an opportunity to expand my consciousness of what I have forgotten. This veil of forgetfulness looms over me, creating fear that I once considered a game. Now it has become a reality. I have not yet learned how to combat my fears in all areas, most truth in my life. However, I have learned to appreciate the fact that because I am here, I am learning at least what they are. And it lets me know I'm still alive in body here on Earth. If I woke up one day fearless, I would no longer call this planet home. Maybe that is a true dysfunctional relationship that we choose to come into this universe, onto this planet, and experience pain, and yet still don't want to leave. To get back to appreciation, I would like to list for you just a few things I am grateful for and some that bring me joy. And I encourage you to do the same. Waking up in the morning, that brings me joy. Knowing I have another chance to grow here. Watching the seasons. Feeling the sun, the snow, the rain, the flowers, watching them grow, leaves falling, viewing a sunset, knowing I'm one more day closer to God, God of the universe and God within. The smile of a baby passing by, one more being of light to share in the wealth of the beauty of this life. Watching my teenagers with their friends at our home, or just them talking on the phone and being grateful for the opportunity to be a part of their lives. Remember, this is 1991. My youngest son's birthday was last month, and right before his birthday, he brought home a pretty dismal report card. Yes, I got angry, and it crossed my mind not to get him a gift. And then I realized his birthday was a celebration of his being born, and for that I am truly grateful. He is a wonderful kid, and I would much rather have him here to grow with than not. So I learned that birthdays are about people, not behavior, and love and appreciation is about life, not circumstances. That each one holds a chance for us to become more aware of our beingness. There are many more things that I appreciate, including the death of my first husband. Although I loved him dearly, I would not be the person I am today had he not died. I have learned since that was a part of the master plan. that he and I agreed upon somewhere before our time here. Has anyone in your life given you pain, or have you experienced a loss to give you an opportunity to grow? What do you appreciate? What abundance have you created to nurture yourself? Have you hugged your spirit today? Every time we acknowledge our joy and gratitude, more light is visited on our world. Every thank you, God, creates an opening for more joy. Every I love you makes more love possible. So I honor and remind you, you are the light. This life is a gift. May you all know the appreciation of yourselves, each other here, your friends and loved ones at home, and God, the light that connects us all. So that's what I wrote in 1991. I gave it out at Mystery School in 1994, and here it is, 2010, and it still rings true. Beyond all the pain, beyond all the stress, beyond all the fear, beyond all of it, I am still grateful for being here. I still love every moment of this life, even the moments I don't understand. Because each one of those moments helps me understand more about not only what I don't know, but triggers information that I do know. And so it's with this comment that I encourage you to go deep within and to really examine your appreciation for your life. And with that, we have a caller. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Donna, I was wondering if you could give me a reading.
Well, I don't know. I can't give you a full-fledged reading on the phone, but I can certainly see what I can do to help. Who is this?
James Thomas.
Oh, hi, James. How are you? How are you?
Good. How are you?
I can give you a more in-depth reading over, you know, offline. I thought I had called you back, and I apologize if I didn't. So talk to me about what you want to know. You're asking about purpose,
basically,
aren't you?
About purpose.
Yeah. Do you have a middle initial, James?
G.
Okay. So it seems that you're at a crossroads right now about what you want to do with the rest of your life, or what you want to do with what you want to do in general right now. Is that correct?
Yeah.
What kind of work are you doing now?
Electrical assembly.
What do you want to do?
Well, I mean, I think I want to be involved with the spiritual growth, I think is my ultimate thing, or
right.
Holistic health research and development.
Right.
That's just kind of what comes to my mind, but I don't know for sure.
See, the problem that's going on here, the challenge that you have, James, is that you're trying to be right rather than finding joy. And it's really important that you understand that your purpose is less about being right and more about being joyful. So as by keeping your day job and exploring your spirituality, that's what's going to bring you the most joy. And the more you explore your spirituality, the more you're going to become very clear about what it is that you want to do. See, the other piece here is there is a strong connection between your quality of life and the criticisms of others. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Well, I seem to be accommodating a lot of times, and which means that I don't necessarily do what I should really be doing for me.
That's right. You don't do what you want to do. You try to do what other people think, guilt you into thinking you should be doing.
Right.
And so it's really about setting the boundaries that, see, what's going on here is you're walking around, what I'm hearing, which you're walking around in a world that is full of shoulds. I should be doing this.
Right.
I should be doing that. I should be helping this person. I should be nicer to this other person. I should be doing this. And yet, all of those shoulds have nothing to do with what you truly want.
Right.
Does that okay? And so
that's right.
Okay. So one of the first things that's going to help you really get at your purpose is to begin to tell yourself the truth about what you truly want to do. And there's also a part of you that is afraid that if I really do what I want to do, I will be letting other people down.
Right.
And so
right.
The piece here
alone.
Is, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And I'll be alone.
And you'll be alone. And
right.
So the idea here is that if in fact you become very clear about what you truly want to do, it doesn't mean that you have to cut the strings of everybody around you immediately. It means that you have to become very, it's interesting, getting the word analytical, and that's something that you actually like to do. You like to be analytical about stuff.
Yeah, I am. I just
yeah.
like naturally.
Yeah. And
but
so
I think that's a protective mechanism, to be honest. I try to use analysis to try to protect myself instead of really getting out and taking a risk and, you know, being involved and committed kind of thing.
Well, but the way you're using analysis is in a way that yes, it does protect you, but it's still not giving you the truth.
No. It's
your analytical
left brain
skills are good, but they're not. In other words, like in many science experiments, a person can analyze them any way they want. And what's happening
right.
here is it really has to do with you getting clear of again, what I'm hearing is what you want to do. So, for example, what stresses you the most right now? What are you doing that you would rather not do that you feel you should be doing? In other words, like, what action are you doing that you feel you should do, and what would you rather do? Can you identify one?
Well, I mean, like, the job that I have now is so mundane and boring. It's like, I mean, I need it for money, but other than that, I wouldn't be doing it.
And what exactly are you doing?
Well, I build electrical things. I make electrical connections, whether soldering or crimping, you know, cut wire and stuff like that. It's for electrical heaters. But,
and what do these heaters do?
Well, they provide warmth, you know, when it's cold out, you know.
For people, right?
Yeah.
So if you were to reframe the purpose of your job, you might find it more fulfilling rather than boring.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's possible. I don't know. I just don't think. I think it's kind of beneath me. You know what I'm saying? I'm not pushing myself. I think I'm not using the gift that God gave me. I think that I'm supposed to be really creative and stuff, and it's just not happening. I really.
But when you're after work, what are you doing after work?
To be honest with you.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think it's really probably a letdown. In a sense, that I'm doing that. I mean, they could get somebody that just could do the same thing out of high school, kind of. You know, it's not a big deal. If you if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I hear you, but I'm asking you, what do you do when you get off of work?
Well, I mean, I do things that I find more enjoyable, whether, you know, listening to music or watching movies or reading health information or things about spiritual growth and things like that. But,
well, what groups are you involved with that would help you expand your creativity and your spirituality?
Well, I mean, I've been involved with different things, but nothing has really come out. And I've been involved in the alternative and spiritual things for 30 years.
Okay.
And there's really nothing that sticks out as far as, hey, this is what I should be doing. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. But the idea here is, here's what's going on, is that you're looking for an answer about what you should be doing rather than enjoying who you're with and allowing the answer to come to you organically. So what happens is that you join a group or you're involved with some kind of education, and you've got the expectation that you're going to quote-unquote find the answer of what your purpose is. And you've got blinders on to the joy of actually being with the group.
Okay.
So the reality here is that it's like the analytical part of you is so in control that you constantly analyze one thing or another rather than opening your heart and just enjoying where you're at. Because the reality
right.
is the answer to what you're seeking cannot come until you open your heart to joy.
Right. Now, how do I do that?
Well, first of all, what kind of groups are you involved with right now? Are you involved with any groups right now?
No.
Okay.
No.
Have you ever gone to a New Thought or a Unity Church?
Yeah, it's been a while, but I have.
When you went, how did you feel?
I mean, it was okay.
Did you go to more than one to see which one you liked better?
I mean, it didn't seem to be anything necessarily special to me. And like you said, it's probably because I'm analyzing too much or whatever.
But I'm saying, did you go to more than one service at different churches?
Yeah.
What part of town do you live in?
Well, near Cleveland.
Okay, what I'm just saying is, did you maybe go to Akron? Did you go to the Heights area? Did you go, you know, to the different, there's different Unity churches and New Thought churches around, even Unitarian. So the idea is it's about going to different services more than one time to look at and to notice how your body feels, or possibly going to some of their classes that they have in the evenings to see how it feels and to see what people are there. The reason that's important is because one of the things that's coming forward is that it's your reconnection with your divinity that's really going to help you in understanding how to open your heart and to become more grateful. There's such a deep anger within you for not receiving what you feel is your due that it's hard for you to feel love. Do you understand that?
Yeah, I do feel, yeah, I mean, when I connect to it, that there can be a lot of anger.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been through a lot in my life.
Right.
And especially these last several years, it's been quite something. And I almost don't want to be here on the planet.
Okay.
And I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere. And that's one of the reasons I'm calling in.
Sure.
I ask different people and nothing seems to come. You know, and I know it's me. For some reason I'm not seeing what I need to see. So I really don't know which way to go. You know what I'm I'm saying? To
sure,
break out of
I
this.
Do. I understand.
This
are you willing?
Almost.
I'm sorry?
It's kind of like a dark night of soul.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, how do I get out of this? Because you know, I really don't want to be there. But, I mean, I had that pattern even in, as a child, going through different things that I didn't want to do for my parents. It's what it feels like, over and over, the same pattern.
Right.
And I'm tired of it, basically.
Right.
And that's the thing. I'm trying to figure out, well, what do I need to do to get out of this forever?
There's a variety of, let me just get this right for you, James. The first one has to do with, the first one to move forward with is forgiveness. And you may have been working with forgiveness before, but there's a forgiveness of self. And then there is a relationship with your mom.
Right.
And there's also deep anger at your father. So the idea here is that here it's almost like you're weighted down, carrying all these bags of rocks on your back of what was
right. And
what happened. And so it's time to really take those bags of rocks off your back. And the way to do that is to understand that the more you carry them, the more weighted down you're going to be, and the longer you're going to wait for the true revelation. As long as you're carrying the anger and the lack of forgiveness, it's impossible to open your heart to yourself. And so one of the steps that's going to be important to you is number one, your first step is to make a list. Literally, I know this sounds daunting, but it's really going to be helpful. What I'm hearing is that you begin by making a list of all the things you're angry about.
Huh.
One of the things the reason that's important is because you're carrying all this on your heart and on your back. And as you start releasing it onto paper, it's something that you can better deal with. Clearly, what's going on for you is not something we can do on a half hour consultation on the radio. I mean, I literally, when I get off the air tonight, I will call you back, and I will you're going to have to call me. And I will wait for your call, and we will schedule an actual consultation. Because what's going to happen here is it's like you need someone to really be your cheerleader and guide as you move forward with this. This is really important. It's almost like you need either weekly or every other week support in not only forgiving yourself but releasing what no longer serves you, from belief systems to shoulds, to angers. There's multiple layers of stuff that need to be able to be released, and we can do that. But it has to be yours.
I know some of the beliefs and things like that, but you know, and I think you know, well, maybe I'm making progress, but when I look back, well, no, I didn't make any progress at all. It's still the same. You know
what
I mean?
But you're doing it on your own.
Yeah, right. Affirmations, visualizations, subliminals, all kinds of stuff, and it's like my life didn't change any.
Well, but
you know what I'm
you're
saying?
Doing it by yourself, and so when you're
yeah.
doing it by yourself, it's harder to do. That's the important piece to understand. If you do it with someone else that is helping you see the changes that you are making or that you that are possible for you to make, it'll be a bigger difference. See, there's some things, James, that are just—it's just too much to do by yourself.
Well,
and you have
thing
a whole,
I'm wondering
whole
about,
list of
like
stuff.
With my
I'm
mom,
sorry?
You know,
yeah.
when I was doing accommodating as a child, do Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, band, marching band, DMLA, college prep, you know, all this kind of stuff. And being in those different things that I really did not want to be in, and if I almost saw it as a life and death kind of thing, so that my subconscious is scared, just absolutely scared, to make a change. So even though I may consciously want to make a change, subconsciously, it doesn't want to change because it thinks it's going to die or something. I don't know. That's what I'm wondering. You know what I'm saying?
Repeat that one more time. You need to hear that again. I want you to listen to yourself. Say it one more time, please.
Is it possible that, you know, as a child I did all these things I really didn't want to do to please mom and dad, but I did them to please them, but I really hated doing it, and always ask, well, why am I doing this? Why do I have to do this? I don't want to do this, you know. But is it because consciously I want to change, but subconsciously I'm really afraid, like a life and death kind of afraid, that if I do change, it'll die. The subconscious will die, or I will die, you know, the ego will die, whatever, and I'm not going to be able to handle it or something like that. I'm just really wondering, is that what it is that's holding me back? Because I've wanted to change for decades. I'm 55.
Do you believe, in other words, first of all, do you believe that's true?
I think it's a possibility. I mean, it makes sense. But, I've been wanting to really have a major change for decades. Nothing's happened.
Why did you not want to go to those different activities?
Well, I had an older brother that didn't. But the thing is, I think I didn't want to do them even more. I didn't want to do them more than him. They just really turned me off.
Because?
I really didn't enjoy them at all.
Because?
Okay.
Because
like they wanted me to play the clarinet. Well, I wasn't very good at it, so I went to the alto clarinet, and I wasn't good at that. I had to go to the bass clarinet. They wanted me to do marching band. Well, I can't march and play the clarinet at the same time, so I had to just fake playing it and just march. Or I'd really look stupid going all over the field, you know, trying to play. I mean, it's where when I'm not doing something I like, I tend to be pretty bad at it, either fair at the best or bad at it. You know?
And did you share with your parents that you didn't want to do this?
Well, I mean, my parents really wanted me to do those things. They thought I'd be a really better person if I did it. Right? They thought I'd have a real good character if I did all those things. Well, I don't think I turned out any better by going through it. I think it tended to burn me out.
You didn't answer the question. Did you tell your parents you didn't want to do it?
I didn't hear it. I'm sorry.
I said, did you tell your parents that you didn't want to do it?
Yes. I did. Like I said, my brother spoke up and got out of it. I also said, hey, I don't want to do these things. And they basically said, Jim, shut up. You're going to do it. As long as you live under this roof, you're going to do it. So I said it numerous times. There was a hurricane back in 68. There was a time in November when it was 10 degrees out and I had to sleep on a sleeping bag on the ground and really literally almost froze, you know. I mean, there's times when I just did not want to do those things, but I had to do them, you know. And I did cave in. My brother didn't. I mean, he didn't. He stood up and kept at it. He did get punished, but, hey, he got out of it. And so I caved and went through it. And it's haunted me my whole life. And,
what part's haunted
you
the most?
I want to try to be able to get beyond this so that I can make something of the rest of my life, whatever is left.
But you know, what part has haunted you the most? That you didn't stand up, or that you did, that you're angry that you had to do it?
Both. It's both. I mean,
and go ahead.
I don't know. I don't know which one's more, but it's pretty bad. Both of them are pretty bad. And
how has that pattern
that
affected you now?
Excuse me?
How has the pattern affected you now?
Well, I can say that I'm living the same kind of pattern over and over again. You know, I get into things that I don't really want to be involved in, and later on I find out, and I should really be leaving those situations, but I tend not to leave. And it's usually I wait till the other person leaves. Okay, so I'm on my second divorce, where, you know, they decided they wanted to leave me, but I was in it. Even if it wasn't that great of a marriage, but, you know, they're leaving me. And then I say, well, okay. Instead of being in control of who I'm with and making sure I'm enjoying it too. And like you said, standing up. Well, no, I haven't stood up. I don't have that self-confidence, I guess, to really move forward in my life like I should be. And I think it goes back to childhood and those kind of things that I learned.
Right. And have you ever tried therapy?
Yeah. I did some psychotherapy. I did past life regression and the John Bradshaw thing, you know, the inner child and things like
right.
that. And none of it seemed to make any difference to me. I mean, the pattern still went. I did Robert Fritz
DMA.
Consulting.
Say, what is it?
Structural consulting, but it was with Rosalind Fritz. I went to Massachusetts, and she determined that, you know, well, and I determined that I'm not good enough, or I'm bad, I'm selfish.
That's your core issue.
What I want, I'm selfish.
Yeah.
And, you know, the underlying belief is I'm bad or not good enough.
No, the underlying belief is the underlying belief, if you go from the structural consulting point of view, from Fritz's work, is the really underlying belief, if you really go down those steps, is that you're afraid if you're alone you'll die.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I was saying about
that is the core issue. You said it earlier. You see,
right.
I understand structural consulting. I understand Robert Fritz, and because I went through his courses years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the
yeah,
but the
I,
thing
I may
is,
have
is,
even
is
been
that,
in
that,
your class, a DMA class, back in
I'm
the
sorry?
Late 80s or something like that.
Say again?
I may have been in your DMA class in the late 80s or early 90s.
Maybe you were.
In
right.
Cleveland.
Yeah.
That's
really
going
bad.
That's a possibility.
I'm sorry, you keep cutting out on me, and I didn't hear you.
Okay, that's why I brought this up about, because it was a possibility that I thought it was you, Donna Fox.
Yeah, right.
At that time.
Yep.
And the Lovelay Enterprises or something on a business card.
Yes, years and years ago, sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, but the thing, even though I know those things, and I agree with what she said, and she says, okay, well, are you going to be able to change it? Well, no. All you got to do is be friends with that reality that you're bad. But being bad is you can do whatever you want. Okay, well, I don't know, I guess I'm not friends with it enough or something. I don't just do what I want. I still think about the other person. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
It's like I don't always stand up for me and what I want because I don't necessarily want to be alone, but it turns out that the end of the pattern, I am alone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's like,
I do.
It doesn't work out anyways, but the relationship really shouldn't have gotten into it. And the initial part, I should be able to see that I shouldn't be in that relationship, and I should be able to leave, but it's like I don't pay enough attention, or I'm not conscious or aware enough to do that. Now, I'm hoping in the future that I will be better able to do that, but
yeah.
I'm not confident yet enough, because I want to be able to start really, you know, attracting some better relationships that, you know, I can be, have something of value to give also.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, interestingly enough, I think what's important here is that the part about making the list is important. The other part about that is us talking offline so we can get a little bit more of a criteria going so I can help you on a regular basis. Because the information here is not can't necessarily happen overnight. It's there because there are so many layers. And with the value that you need, that we want to bring to this table here, is that there are many techniques that you haven't tried. And technologies that I have learned over the years. And it would definitely be helpful to be able to have an offline conversation about them to see if it makes sense to move forward.
Uh-huh. Well,
because,
you know, like,
again,
have you heard of Avatar? You know,
other than the movie,
management,
no.
With Harold Palmer?
Just say who?
Harry Palmer. Harry
no.
Palmer?
No.
He's in Florida. And it's supposed to be about belief management. And I took that class as 9 days long. Well, the first day was, they had an exercise. First, say what you're going to do, and then do it. Like, I'm going to put my right hand up in the air for 5 seconds, and then I'm going to bring it down by my side. So you go ahead and do that. And then I'm going to blink my eyes, very fast for 10 seconds or something. And do that. Well, I started off fine doing each of those things, but within about a minute or two, I locked up. My body locked up. I couldn't continue the exercise. You know, and I was pretty concerned about that. Well, you know, I was looking at other people and they were continuing to do the exercise. You know, they didn't get locked up. I was the only one out of 9 or 10 people that got locked up. Well, I was the only one to go on to the second and third sessions, which added about another 8 days to the course, and I was one-on-one with the teacher.
Uh-huh.
And the second part was supposed to be creating new beliefs, and the third part was discreating old beliefs. And after that, you know, 9-day thing, I didn't seem to be any different than before. And I was pretty disappointed.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know what it was. But, you know, but it sounded like a real powerful course and everything.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, I don't know. I've tried NLP.
What happened to that?
And, well, nothing much, you know. I mean, it sounds good and everything. I mean, I wish I had Tony Robbins to put me through some paces. But I had a guy named Dale Fry up in Cleveland, and he had studied this stuff pretty good, and it didn't seem to do much for me. You know, and he tried to hypnotize me, whatever. I don't think I was hypnotized at all, and nothing really came of it. Like I said, I can see the pattern repeating, you know?
Right.
And I think that's one of the biggest things that I'm unhappy about is that pattern. And how to get beyond it.
Well, I think, well, here's what I would like to suggest, based on what's coming forward, is that there needs to be some intense work, and there needs to be some intense journaling work, and there needs to be some one-on-one sessions that we move forward with. Again, in an hour or 40 minutes, this cannot be shifted. But I would be happy to talk to you after we get off the air to schedule a time when we can work together.
Okay. All right. That sounds good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then we can go from there. But start. But what I'm also hearing is that you need to really start with working, enlisting the patterns and the places for the anger. You need to make
places
that list
for the anger.
The list of what you're angry about and why. That list has to be done. And if you would email it to me, that would be great.
Okay.
I mean, and just in the words, like, just start pouring your heart out and just let it rip. And that's the place where we're going to begin.
All right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And do it until you can't. In other words, like, it's almost like do it as much as you can, and then once you feel, like, complete for that moment, just don't do it any farther. Just stop, take a deep breath, and call that level complete. Close that file and email it to me.
Okay.
All right? And that's where we'll begin.
All right.
Okay?
So basically just do that, email to you, and then you'll get a hold of me, or?
Yeah, in other words, when we're done here, if you call me on the 691-1233, 216-691-1233, once I'm done with the program in about 10 minutes, not even, we'll set an actual time that we can actually work together. But we have to give yourself some time to create that list first before we work together, okay? We'll set an appointment when we get off the air.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. That's fine.
I will wait for your call on the 216-691-1233 number.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thanks a lot, Donna. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Okay.
All right.
Looking forward to working.
Good night.
Okay. Good night. Bye-bye. So, ladies and gentlemen, you've actually seen a little bit about what we're doing here. Working forward, moving forward into an actual consultation is an important piece because the consultations are based 100% on a person's questions. And then once we get those questions down and we move forward into the core issues is when we can actually help someone. It's not about rewriting the records so much as it is neutralizing the beliefs. They no longer have a hold on you, and that's what's important. The important piece is it's really about learning to move forward past what you think you know into what you want to know. There's so many times that we have belief systems that are keyed from our childhood, that we as an adult end up not really knowing who we are. And that lack of knowing who we are is what creates the repeating of the patterns. And so when we repeat patterns and we don't know why we're doing it, there are things that we have to begin to ask ourselves. And there are ways that we have to be able to move into the depths of our knowing, and working with the Akashic Records is one of them. There is a reason and purpose why, for example, James called in tonight. There's a reason and purpose for everything that we have set up in our life. And sometimes we don't have to know the reason. We just need to neutralize and move on. Other times, it's just a matter of balancing the energy fields so we can move on. Other times it's a matter of reprogramming the way we speak to ourselves. There's so many different ways, and it can be individual, it can be all of the above, or it will create a new technology that helps people move along their evolutionary path to their own self-knowledge. And so hopefully you've received some benefit for this from this evening in hearing this conversation. Hopefully you have received benefit from hearing the essay that was read this morning, earlier in the program on joy and appreciation. But for tonight, we're going to close the program. It's time for us to go. I want to tell you how much I appreciate your calls and your questions. And I'd like to end this program. Someone sent me a heart chakra prayer that I want to end this program with. And it's by Ambika Waters, and it's W-A-U-T-E-R-S. And it was sent in by Lucita Garcia. Hello?
That was just your caller. We're still live. Well, folks, I guess not. You gotta love internet radio. Sometimes these expensive pieces of equipment don't amount to much because they don't automatically hang up the caller. So we kind of have to do that manually around here. We do apologize if that upsets too many of you. We think it's kind of funny, actually, because we're halfway across the studio when it happens. Well, thank you for tuning in to BBS Radio. That was another great program. It'll be back next week live. Up next, some promos, a little bit of music. Thanks for tuning in. Good evening.